Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Cave Show with PLR. You got it. This is PLR. A lot to get into today on this show. First of all, we have a special guest giving us a call at 10 minutes after the hour, the one and only Earl Burnett. Casual Sports, KSRN's very own, will be joining us then. A couple things I want to clear up. I want to clear up this SEC myth. It's really starting to get on my nerves. I know ESPN is in the bed with two things. The SEC and LeBron James, and they're constantly hitting us over the head with both of them. I think LeBron James deserves it, though, but that's a whole different story. Whole different story. Baseball, shake it out. We're saying who's for real, who's not for real. We'll get into that. First week of NFL football, we're going to get some previews and talk about that. First weekend of college football, like I said, we're going to talk about that as well. Zeke will be here for game one. I've been saying it. I'm going to keep saying it because I believe it. We'll get into everything. Big show today planned right here on the Cave Show with PLR, and we are brought to you by the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take care of you 10% off of your first cigar purchase. We will be doing a show live there on Thursday, so make sure you check us out there as well. If you come down while I'm in the house, 15% off of your cigar purchase. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never, ever, ever worry about your sticks going bad. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Now serving beer and wine. Located 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get down there and check them out. You'll be happy that you did. 10% off. Just mention PLR or The Cave Show. You heard the topics that we're going to talk about. We're definitely going to get into ASU football. I want to play a little piece a little bit later about some of the things that Coach Herm Edwards thinks that ASU can improve on. I'll play that live for you as well coming up shortly. Like I said, this is the Cave Show with PLR. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. That call in number 917-889-7828. Want to squeeze in a call or two before the guest calls in. Thank you for joining the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR.
Hey, Paul. It's Lou.
Lou, what's up, my friend? How are you today?
Okay, well, first of all, I'll believe it when I see it with Zeke Elliott. You know, I mean, there are reports, but, hey, it's not official, and you know me. If it's not official, I'm not buying it just yet. I'd love to see it happen, but until it's signed the dotted line, I'm not saying nothing.
I agree. I just think it's going to happen. He's flying back from Cabo to Dallas. Dallas signed, I can't think of his name right now, I apologize, one of their offensive linemen to an extension. By doing
Collins,
that, they freed
Collins.
Up an extra Collins. Yes, by doing that, they freed up an extra $5.7 million in cap space. They didn't do that just because the whistle was blowing at 5 o'clock. They're going to get Zeke in. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of patience. But it will happen.
Like I said, we want to see it. Hey, now, I was reading something yesterday of on the college front. We got a big game on Saturday already. Clemson and I believe Texas Tech and
Texas
A&M, and I believe it was the linebacker says that prepare for an upset. We are gonna mop the floor with Clemson. I don't know. This looks like a good matchup, but I don't know if they got enough to beat Clemson though.
Well, Clemson has to retool. I mean, there was a lot of players that got replaced. Okay, let me ask this question. I always say this to those guarantee people.
Right.
So everyone says, there's two facets to this, right? If you guarantee it, you shouldn't say anything. Or if you guarantee it, all you did was give them bulletin board material. Here's what I've learned in talking to athletes a lot. Are you supposed to say you're going to lose? If the report says to you, Do you think you're going to beat Clemson? Well, you know, we're going to go out there and get with the old college. No. Yes, we're going to go into Clemson. We're going to beat Clemson. We're going to shake. We're going to beat them. We're going to upset a lot of things. On the other side, I think individually, guys can get up for a little bit of something. But if you already are Trevor Lawrence and you know you got one more good year in you before you have to go to the NFL, do you think a guy saying we're going to upset you is going to make you play any harder than you were going to play?
No, I just thought, you know, I mean, confidence is one thing, but being overconfident, that's another. I mean, you are going against a powerhouse.
Yeah, but you know what? A&M isn't being coached by, like, Ralph Lundy either. They're being coached by a guy that was a really good coach at Florida State, who left Florida State to go here, and the cover isn't
Willie
Taggett. There. No, not Willie Taggett. Good joke. Now you made me forget his name when you said that, because now all I can think of is Willie Taggart getting his butt kicked again. Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo can flat-out coach his butt off. And he's going to put together some schemes that may give Clemson some worry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying – I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it could happen, but I don't know if it's going to be enough. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a blowout by Clemson either. I mean, I think it's going to be a highly competitive game. No question about it.
I definitely don't think A&M is a 17-point dog to them.
No, I mean, you know, I just don't know if it's going to have enough weapons, you know, to take Clemson. But I'm sure it's going to be a highly competitive game, and I'll be looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, now the preseason's now over, so let the fireworks begin.
Oh, Lou, I can't wait. Tomorrow, doing the AFC preview, Saturday. On Thursday, doing the NFC preview. On the show. I cannot wait.
And we've had some upsets at the U.S. Open this past week, in just the last 48 hours.
The U.S. Open has been a consistent upset.
No, but the top seed went down.
Yeah, Osaka's gone. In the last round, a couple rounds ago, Halep is gone. In all honesty, this may be Serena's best shot to get number 24. Because I don't know if you ever saw a movie called Independence Day.
Heard of it?
There's this line where the president is a plane fighter, and he says, "Gentlemen, let's plow the fields." Well, guess what? Then women's tennis, they just plowed the fields for Serena. So if she has a shot, this is it.
Was that in the original, the first movie?
Yeah, the original Independence Day.
I have seen it.
Yep. When he goes, "Gentlemen, let's plow the fields." Well, you know what? They've been plowed.
Yeah.
So let's see if Serena can come through now.
Yeah, but, I mean, the top seed of the women's went down, and the top seed of the men's went down, too.
Yeah. And men, you know, I love tennis.
But what was the booing all about, though?
Because people are idiots, Lou.
True.
I mean, that's the only explanation I can give. We saw that with Andrew Luck, and now we see this with a guy who wants to win a major, whose shoulder has been documented that it's been hurting, and what do people do when he goes, "Look, I just can't do it, I'm hurt," they boo him. Because fans are idiots. And there's no other way to say it. There's no getting around it. There's no nice way to say, "Oh, well, maybe they..." No, fans are idiots. You want people to play hurt. You want
people
to play injured, because they have to, you know, quote-unquote, man up and be tough. People are idiots, Lou.
Yeah, because there was an incident on Friday when the one from Spain, you know, he won the match, but he was booed to death.
Honestly, I don't know what people want anymore. And I'm being honest. I don't know what...
I wish I had an answer for that, though.
We want a pound of flesh, and then we want another pound. So
I wish I had an answer for that, man.
Yeah, man. It's absolutely crazy how people treat someone who's injured. We're not saying that it just walked off a court or left everyone hanging. We're talking about someone who has, on record, it's been shown that this guy has been hurt. On record. And now that he can't continue, it wasn't like he just stiffed you all the way. He went out there
right.
and gave you every effort that he had, and still, that was not enough.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I mean, at some point, Lou, people are just idiots when it comes to certain things.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I know you got a guest coming, so I'll take my leave, and we'll try again tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. Thank you. Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good to catch up with him. Always, always, always. Hey, listen, I told you, we got some heavyweights coming on this week, starting with the man himself. We got the one and only, Earl Burnett. He'll be with us in just about 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line right now, he's the man put together KSRN, Casual Sports. He's the man himself. Listen, when they say heavyweight in Phoenix, they are talking about none other than my man here, Earl Burnett. Welcome to the Cave Show. What's up, buddy?
What's going on there, Paul? Thanks for having me come on, man. I appreciate it. It's been a while. Good to come in.
I know when you know the higher ups in the world, you can't call them every other day. You got to give them that space to breathe. You know, you can't call Jay-Z every day and be like, "Yo, can you roll through my kids and party and, you know, drop a couple for me?" You know, you can't call Gladys Knight and say, "Mom is having some kids." You can't call him every day. So I understand. So I have to space it out a little bit.
I appreciate that, man. That's pretty cool. What's on your mind, man? What's going on with you, man? It's been a minute, man.
It has. It's been a lot, man, that's out here, and I wanted to get you to weigh in. I want your opinion on this. I want you to tell me that I'm crazy, because I know that I am, but I know I'm not crazy about this. So I watched the SEC. I watched Auburn beat Oregon. And after that game, I heard so many talking heads, especially from the four-letter, who I know is in bed with ESPN is in bed with the SEC. I understand that. Get your money. I'm all about that. But this is what a couple people said, and a couple people on another network as well. Well, Oregon just proved to you that the Pac-12 is terrible. They can't beat the SEC. There's no way Herbert should have lost to a freshman quarterback, yada, yada, yada. So then the next person, they keep talking. They go, well, Tennessee lost to Georgia State. Well, but that's not indicative of the SEC. Tua threw 8 million yards. They played a clean cake. Doesn't matter, though. He still looked good at what Alabama does. And then I'm watching this, and I see another SEC team lose. Well, that's not indicative of who they are. Is it just me, or is the SEC, they've got four really, really, really good teams? But when your Tennessees are losing to Georgia State, I can't give you your conference is better than every other conference. I can't do that. Am I off with that?
No, you're right on with that, man. Every dog has its day every once in a while. But, I mean, when it comes to the big games and big names and all those things in college football, man, you're talking to the wrong person. I mean, I don't follow it as closely as you guys do, but, I mean, when you talk about those conferences in that manner, I mean, what other conference is better than that one? I mean, as far as where Alabama's playing in, they pretty much own everything. So, I mean, you might get a guy come up in here, a team come up in here every once in a while that might get sniff out a win here and there, but I still see them as, you know, head of everything in college football, in my opinion.
Yeah, I give Bama their love. I give Bama respect because you can't do it. They're like New England. Because if we're really honest, New England plays in the worst division in football. And they're almost guaranteed a home game in the playoffs every year because Miami is bad and getting worse. The Jets are just the Jets. And Buffalo is a Canadian team. And, I mean, in all honesty, and being fair, New England, they're guaranteed six victories. Guaranteed five. Because they always lose in South Beach because everyone loses in South Beach. It ain't got nothing to do with football. If I was coaching a football team, we would show up in South Beach 2 hours before the game. We would not spend a night in South Beach because you're going to lose that game. But I do know a college team that you keep up with, and that's the Sun Devils. Starter freshman quarterback, starter freshman center. Everything falls on – no, I shouldn't say that's unfair, but a lot falls on Eno, and we saw the way they were putting eight in the box on him. He still rushed for over 100. Jaden Daniels still looked good. And it looks like these other wide receivers are saying, hey, we know Nikhil is gone, but we can still play some football too.
Yeah, it looks like they learned some things from him, especially Ayuk. I mean, he almost looked like Nikhil a little bit out there when he ran hard with the ball. I mean, but I think they're in good hands. I think they're really good hands. But one thing I'm pretty sure the whole all of the Arizona media came out for a game against Kent State. Kent State, I'm like, okay, what's really going on? And, it was because of everybody wanting to see this true freshman play. And I got to look at him. And, usually when you see a kid play, this is just my personal opinion. Usually when you see a kid play, you can kind of see the it factor right off the bat. And I did not get that early on with this kid. I also sensed too that Herm was putting a lock on him a little bit where he's telling him, don't try to do too much. Don't try to get, know when the play is over, get out of bounds. And that's what I saw him. He was thinking a lot. He was, being his first game, he was the nerves were there, but he was composed and he was really poised at doing it. But I did not see him let loose where you see the specialist that everybody's been talking about in the training camps and stuff. And I want to see that. I want to see that because that's the future. I want to see that. But other than that, I mean, he played a good, poised game. I mean, he did what his coaching staff and everybody told him to do because it was his first game. So I'm hoping in this next game he can relax just a little bit more and let some of that specialness loose because I want to see that.
Yeah, so do I. And you know what? Something Herm said the week before the game or coming up to the game at one of the press conferences, he said every time he comes off the field, he's going to come talk to me first. And then he's going to go put on the headset and he's going to do all the other stuff. But he's going to talk to me first. And that told me right there that he wasn't going to really be driving the ball down the field a lot. Everything was going to kind of be, what you're saying, hand-fed to him for a while until he comes along. Now, what he did show was some poise. And he showed that he wasn't going to get rattled.
Yeah.
And I know it's Kent State, but you still got to win. Hey, look, Tennessee lost to Georgia State. You still got to beat the team in front of you. And
exactly,
I like what I see. I mean, if you're going to start a freshman, I don't, and a freshman center. And the one thing Herm said yesterday, Earl, was that think about it. There were no center to quarterback mishaps. Everything was clean.
Right.
Freshman to freshman, everything was clean. Even when they brought in Captain America to run a couple plays, everything was clean.
Right. Well, let's see. Let's see how that cleanness stays clean in week three because that's where they're going to be really tested. And that's the game I'm looking forward to seeing if that poise, his poisonous and his being composed stays with him because that team they're playing is already pissed off at us from last year's game and Michigan State, that is. And that's going to be his biggest test. And if he can pull off the same type of game he played in game one against that team, and now you're looking at something like, okay, now we set, man. This thing looked like it's Herm setting up this thing to look like he's going to control this Pac-12 in a couple of years, man. It's going to be really cool to watch, too.
Yeah, it is. On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Earl Burnett on with me. Okay, so and saying what you said next week first, because you know how Herm does it. We don't jump ahead. You got Sacramento State. Now Sacramento State hung up 77 points last week.
Whoa!
Now I know
what?
They played,
say that again.
They hung up 77 points last week.
Wow. Oh, but this defense of ASU is really – we didn't talk about that yet. Our defense has showed out pretty good so far. So 70-something points, I don't think so. I don't think that happens, but we'll see. Because them boys, my boy Chase and them boys locked them up last week. So that's going to be a really good defensive test for them, too, if we got a team that could come in and hang up points like that.
Yes. Now, I know they played South Oregon, and I didn't even know there was a school in South Oregon. Who knew? But until I saw this game on the schedule, I didn't know Sacramento State had a team. So
exactly.
So this, but at the same time, I always say, if a team is capable of hanging 77 points up, it means you don't want to just look past them at all, because they can still score. How important do you think it is for ASU, or how important do you think it'll be for Herm, or how hard will it be for Herm to keep the guys on task this week and not look ahead to going to Lansing the following week?
That is a hard task to do. The mind can be a tricky thing, man. That it is really tough to do that. You might think that it's not, but these kids, I mean, sometimes you have to come up with some type of method to keep their minds focused, because it's easy to overlook a team like that. But I think the motivation will be exactly what you just said. The motivation has to be, look, I don't care who you're playing against. If a team can put up 70 freaking points, you better be careful and look out for them, because you can overlook them and come in there, and you never know what they're running, too. What are they running to get them to put up 70 points? You know, is it a spread offense, something like that? We've got receivers running all over the place. You better be ready and prepared for it. So I think that's going to be the motivation. Is, hey, look, this team put up 70 points. And that's you don't overlook that. And so that'll hopefully keep them motivated. But I don't think it's going to be an issue, because, man, the way that defense looked that night, last Saturday night, I think they're only going to get better, of course. But I don't see them running up 70 points on us. At least I hope not.
You sound surprised when I said, you know, Sacramento State put 77 points on somebody. Your voice sounded a little
surprised. What the heck? I sound surprised, but what I'm saying is, wow, that's not nothing you just overlook. 70 points is 70 points. I don't care who you're putting it up on.
Agreed.
So, I mean, you don't.
Agreed.
Yeah, you don't overlook that.
77 is 77. 77 to 77. I want to switch up. Look, they did put 77 up. I still think ASU is going to comfortably win this game this week. But I want to switch over to the NFL. And what I've told fans about the Cardinals is, you're going to see a better team. You're going to see a team that's going to play hard. Not because I think they played hard last year too.
You kind of faded out on the line. I can barely hear you there, Paul. Are you there?
I can hear you fine. Am I better now?
Nah, he's really, really low. Hold on a second. Maybe it's my phone. Okay, go ahead.
All right, I moved the microphone around. Is that better?
Yeah, you're good. I got you.
Okay.
Thanks.
No worries. I know that this team played hard last year. They just weren't a good team. But I've been telling Cardinal fans, I know you got the number one pick in the draft. I know this kid is dynamic. But he's not going to push you up to 9-10 wins. At first, I said this team would win 5. That's what I said when I first had this good feeling about me. I had me a couple of adult beverages, and I said 5. Earl, I'm looking at the schedule. I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm hard-pressed to pick 3. So I'm going to stick with 5 because I said 5. But I'm having a hard time seeing more than 3 victories. Feel like I'm playing spades. I'm telling my partner I can pull 5, but I'm seeing a bunch of 6, 7, 8 spades in my hand. I don't see it.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, I had them. I put an article out about a month ago about this. Now, that was a month ago. That's probably changed now. But I was kind of thinking that they would be somewhere in the range of 6 to 7 wins. And reason being is because, okay, I look on paper, and like you said, last year was last year. They were a horrible team last year. But you put the paper down with those two teams in comparison, they're not the same team. They're definitely a better team on paper this year than they were last year. So I gave them the 4 wins as being a better team on paper. You have to be improved. You have to be an improved team. If you're going to be an improved team, you win more than 3 games. So I'm saying they're a better team on paper. So I gave them 4 wins. I listed those 4 wins, the teams I can't remember in the article. I can't recall the 4 teams I listed. I know this Detroit game was one of them. But 2 other things that I've noted in the article was there's going to be a win that early on in the season, someone's going to overlook them. Somebody's going to overlook them because of that offense. Nobody knows right now what the offense is going to look like. So there's going to be some you know, success early with the offense, and that's going to probably give them one steal of a loss. And I think it's going to be in week 2 against Baltimore. So take that win. And the 4 wins that I've added, that's 5. Then I said all of a sudden, I said for sure they're going to win in their division at least once on the road and once at home. So there's 7 wins right there. So, I mean, 4, 5, 6, yeah, that's 7 wins right there. So I gave them those 7 wins. That's likely could happen. I mean, simply because, like I said, they're a better team on paper. And we don't know what this offense is going to entail right now. And I think that's going to be the key. Early on in the season, you get yourself 2 good wins off this offense, the Detroit game and that Baltimore game. You start out 2-0. That's a good start. And then I have them at the end of the season losing 5 in a row because those teams at the end have already figured out what they're doing already. So that's going to end up those last 5 games they'll lose and end up 7-9. That's just how I had it on the article. But, I mean, that's the article in a smaller, you know, condensed me just on the phone here. But if you want to read it, it's up on Casual Sports Radio Network. Check it out.
I like that. I'm going to ask you this. Were you drinking the same adult beverage I was drinking? Because I'm looking at this double right now. And except I think you ordered a double. Because I'm looking at this schedule, and I'm seeing the Lions, which I think they can beat. I really think they could beat them, and I'm going way down and win one for the Gipper. But this is a team that travels east bad. I mean, historically, no matter who's coaching or who's calling the signals, they've traveled east terribly. So that Ravens defense, even though they've got a quarterback that is really a running back, I keep saying the Ravens are running a wishbone back there. But that defense is no joke. And then they get the Panthers, and then they get the Seahawks. And I said, okay, well, maybe they go to Cincinnati, even though they don't travel east bad. Andy Dalton's still the quarterback, and Cincinnati looks for ways to lose games. So maybe let's squeeze that one out for 2. Then you got Atlanta. They're like, okay, well, New York is down. They got Eli old. But they got to go to New York. They're gonna be in Manhattan tonight for the game.
Let me jump in there real quick, Paul. You gotta help me with this one, because I'm starting to hear a lot of this chatter about the Panthers being this really good team. Why is everybody putting them up there where they're like this team that's gonna be challenging for a Super Bowl or something? I don't see that. I see that Panther game is a home game for the Cardinals, and I see that's gonna be a hyped up game because of the 2 style of the quarterbacks. Kyler's gonna be hyped up, ready to play that game because he's going up against another quarterback that's that type of style of running around and doing his thing on his feet and, you know, with the arm and all those things. Who is he throwing the ball to? Cam Newton. Who is he throwing I mean, other if you have a game plan and you look at the Carolina Panthers and you X off Christian McCaffrey and you put double his butt all throughout the whole game, you X him, what's left?
You know what? Let me say this. Well, you still got Olsen. And I combine that with the fact that I don't put a lot in the preseason, but something that stood out, Cardinals can't tackle. I mean, they can't tackle at all. And that means Christian McCaffrey, and in my mind, I don't think the Panthers are going to be a playoff team. I think that's a 6-10 team, a 7-9 team.
Okay.
But I think
that's what I'm talking about. So So that's two six-win teams are going to play each other, and it's just going to come down to who can execute. Like you said, tackling, okay, I get that. But I just see everybody putting the Panthers up on a pedestal where they're – I mean, Cam Newton can't even stay healthy. How are they going to be some – you know, this playoff team that everybody's putting them up there to be. So I have them as one of the – I have them as a squeak-out win, Cardinals, at home. And home is being the advantage. And I think this defense, you're saying they can't tackle it. We're going to go back to looking at their past and all that stuff. I get that. The past is the past. But that past has nothing to do with the future of the team that it is right now. I don't get caught up in the records of back in the day. They had this many tackles, or this person, the defense never could do this, or that offense did that. They won 5 Super Bowls. Okay, that's cool. That's history of the team. But that's not talking about the same team. Those are different teams. So I don't ever put no stock into that. I want to see the team in regular season, game one, what they're going to look like. This game one is going to show me what this team's going to look like defensively. If they can stop the run, and if what they've added through the waiver wire, what they've added through free agency, what they've added through, you know, off-season-wise and flipping the roster, if they can come up and be a little more stout at stopping the run, then you have a defense that's going to be really, really good once they get their offside guys back in Patrick Peterson and Alfred. So, I mean, I don't see them in the same exact defense. Yeah, we saw a preseason game where somebody bust off 85-yard run. We saw a preseason game with, okay, we get that. That's preseason. Let's see them how they're going to look in the regular season. That's going to tell you everything. Preseason doesn't tell you pretty much nothing.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, that voice belongs to Casual Sports' very own KSRN, Bo Burnett, who has proven that he's on adult beverages too. There's a saying that me and Ed use all the time. Ed Smith and Ed Cole tell me this all the time. Whenever I talk about the Suns, they tell me I'm on that narcotic. I'm going to start saying the same thing about the Cardinals. When I talk to you, okay, so I give them the Ravens. You think they're gonna go out there or the Panthers? I mean, you think they're gonna beat the Seahawks?
Well, no, I don't have the Seahawks as them beating the Seahawks at all. That's why I say they're gonna win in a division on the road once and at home once. And that's going to be both the 49ers. They're going to beat them. They're going to sweep them. So that's two wins.
The 49ers?
Yeah.
Did you forget that porn star Jimmy played for the 49ers?
Hello. Hello. Let's go into that, because here's where I want you to go back and check this out, though. Seriously, though, Paul, go back into history and you take out Adrian Peterson being the only guy that can come off an ACL and perform the way he performed. I don't care who it is after that. Every last person that has come off an ACL injury has to have a whole full year before they get that confidence back in that leg.
Yep.
He doesn't look like the same quarterback. I'm telling you that right now. He does not look like the same quarterback, even in preseason, and he will not be the same quarterback for a long period of time. He is going to have one of those minds that is going, do I do this? Do I do that? Do I do this? I'm thinking, because he's going to be looking down at that dang leg, I guarantee you. I've had an ACL injury. People that's not even playing pro football have had an ACL injury, and you always think about that leg. It takes about a good year before that leg, you're confident in it again. That's going to be Jimmy G's problem all season long. And so I don't see them being this big time, oh, Jimmy G's a man. No, he's not. He's going to struggle. Their defense is going to hold him up a little bit. But they're not going to be, you know, the Cardinals can play them head up and beat them twice. I ain't going to say it's going to be easy, but because it's a division, you always battle your division. But that's two wins to me, just simply because that Jimmy G thing everybody hyped up about, watch it. It's going to be like, what the heck is wrong with Jimmy G? Watch. Everybody's going to be saying that all throughout the year. What's wrong with Jimmy G? And I'm going to tell you what's wrong with him. He's worried about that leg. And that it takes a while before you get confident back in an ACL injury. That's just how it goes. Except, like I said, the anomaly, that freak Adrian Peterson, who done it, you know, run for 2,000 damn yards on one coming back.
He's a different person.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't take that out of the equation.
I will tell you this. By week 6, when I'm texting you on Sundays, you're going to change your number.
Okay. 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 Ask yourself this, Paul. What has Jimmy G shown us up to this point anyway? Why is everybody still so hyped up on this kid?
I'm not talking about
what has
Jimmy
he
G.
shown
I'm talking
before
about
the injury? Before the injury? Before the injury? What was it? He showed us 5 games of what he can do before the year before.
Yep.
And then he
comes
into the new year, you get hurt in the 3 years, three games in the new year. So it's like, what has he shown us? That's the man. Other than him doing what Tom Brady's doing, what he's always done, that's be successful in a New England system, in the New England Patriots system. Every quarterback is successful in a New England Patriots system. So what has Jimmy G done outside of that?
But I'm not going to be texting you about Jimmy G. I'm going to be texting
okay.
I'm going to be counting these losses. So when they get to 11, I'm mathematically going to send you that text that says they can't get to 7 wins. Because mathematics don't want out. I'm talking about the Cardinals now. But I do think they're going to – you know what? My baby son is the biggest Cardinal fan that you will ever find. And my eldest son just takes that stake and pokes him in the side all the time. And he's already said – when Detroit upsets them this year on your way to 0-16, let's see what you're going to do. And I'm looking at him saying,
oh, wow, that's bold.
I said, they're going to 0-16. And he's like, watch. He goes, Dad, look at the schedule. I can't find one. I couldn't find a preseason win, let alone find a regular season win. So you think that I'm not the hater. I speak from what I think.
Well, it's not so much about being a hater or not. It's just, for me, it's just, I mean, I'm not one of those guys that follow this team and go, you know what, and I overthink it and go, you know, these guys are going to be, I'm just wishful thinking that they're going to be. No, I'm realistic. I'm realistic. I know this is not going to be a 500 team. I know that. I know this is not going to be a playoff team. I know this is not going to. I just want to see a team get put on the field that competes better than they did last year. That's all.
Yeah,
and I think we have that. I think we have that. I think we have a team that may lose a lot of close games this year. That's my hope, that they would lose a close game, not go in and just get waxed, you know, and don't show any fire and can't tackle and can't stand up to other teams the way they can stand up. You know, I hate that, and we saw that all last year. So realistically, I would see them with 6 wins, 7 at the highest, but 6-10. 7-9. That's about where I have them at, and it could go down lower than that. And it could go, could it get higher than that? We'll see. But this is also people have to be mindful too that this is also all new here in Arizona. So you can't expect new to just work right away. New is not going to work instantly. There are going to be growing pains for that rookie quarterback. It's going to be growing pains for that rookie coach, and we saw that in preseason. So the main thing that would get me thinking, okay, yeah, there are going to be some times they're going to struggle. Yeah, I get that. But then there are also going to be times where they're going to show us, Kyler Murray's going to show us why we picked him number one. At some point during the season, you're going to see that, you're going to see that type of game from him. And we didn't get that from Rosen last year. We were looking for it. And we're going to get it this year at least once or twice.
Yeah, I feel bad for Josh. I ain't even a kid. I feel bad for Will.
Oh, man, I do. Man. They did him so bad, man. That was not right.
Man,
it was not right.
The only thing we did good for him is send him to South Beach to live, because the Miami Dolphins, I think, are going to be the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah,
so
and they're doing that, but they're doing that on purpose, too.
Yeah, someone just said, you know what, Rosen, you got enough money, man, so we just going to beat you up. You're good. You're good. Because he's going to play week 3. Because we all know Fitzpatrick got a couple weeks in him, and then he goes back to Fitzpatrick. So Rosen's going to come in. But every argument, I think it's funny, because every argument you just made for the Cardinals, we're making that same argument in 1 month for the Suns.
Correct. Yep. I agree with you. I agree with you
100%.
I agree with you. I agree.
Gotta ask you.
You know what? Hey, Paul, at this point, I don't even know what to make of the Suns right now. There's nothing in me right now that goes, oh yeah, we could. No, I don't see. I mean, the credit that I've gave to the Cardinals that they could get to 6-7 wins. I don't see that same credit to give to the Suns right now. And you would think that they would have more talent, but I don't know what they think of them right now. But the only thing I can really lean on is I'm hoping that the culture just changes, having Monty as their coach. That's what I'm hoping for. The culture changes, and you don't see a bunch of smiling little playing around dudes going into a battle against another team. I'm so tired of seeing that, the joking around, and DeAndre Ayton laughing and joking like, dude, beat somebody down in that paint. Get mean. I ain't trying to cause no fights or nothing. But, I mean, you don't want to cause no fights to just be, you know, out of control, but you got to show some type of grit and some type of, you know, that you're ready to come in to battle with somebody. And the Suns have not had – they've had that weak-minded type thing going for a while now. And I'm hoping Monty could change that. So we'll see. I'm out. The jury's out for them. I have no clue. You the Suns, man. You probably know better than I do.
Look, I got a whole hour show to do on them in about a month. But I will say this.
Okay.
This is the only thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to ask you a playoff or a Super Bowl-type prognostication for football. I just wanted to tell my boy Devin Booker, it's a bad
right.
look to argue about being double teamed in a pickup game.
Oh, yes.
If they double team
you, I agree with that.
Just let them double team you. It's a bad. I don't care if you're out there working on your game. I don't care if that wasn't what you thought it was going to be. If that's what it happens to be, let it be. It's a bad look to complain.
It's
I've seen
really
a lot of
bad look.
Bad look.
It's a really
and
bad
I've seen a lot
look.
Of local
simply.
People. A lot of local
yeah,
people
it's a
came
really
to
bad.
His defense.
I'm sorry.
I said a lot of local people came to his defense, but nationally he's getting beat up. And I'm just going to say it as a local person here, you cannot complain about being double teamed. I don't care if it's on NBA 2K.
Right.
Don't complain
right.
about being double teamed. Bad look, man. Bad look.
Very bad. Very bad look. It sends a message to the whole entire league. Double team him, and you get him out of his game.
Yeah.
So
yep,
he already put a target on his own back because now it's like double team. Even if it was a pickup game, he had an issue with it. So double team him and start seeing it working fine. And now you just put yourself in a situation where you have to prove it. Now you're overdoing it, trying to prove that it's not. I mean, it's crazy. He should never, ever, 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 ever come out and complain about that in a pickup game. A pickup game?
Yeah.
I don't know why everybody's making such a big deal out of it, but he don't know. He's sorry to put a target on his back simply because he made a big deal out of it.
I agree with you. A couple more quick football questions for you. First off, are the Browns going to be as good as everyone thinks the Browns are going to be?
No. And that goes back to they will be – late in the season, but not early, not in the beginning. They're going to struggle coming out of the gate. Just like any new team that's put together has to gel together. They have to know how to lose together and win together. And this team hasn't been through anything together. So just because you put a gang of talent together does not mean it's going to work on the field instantly. Ask the Philadelphia Eagles when they had the so-called dream team back in the time when Vic and Vince Young dubbed them the dream team, and that I think they won four games that year, 4-12 somewhere around there. They were horrible.
Well, where's Vince Young?
Where's
exactly.
Vince Young right now?
Exactly. Yeah, where's Vince?
Yeah, that's my
exactly.
point. So everybody needs to just pump their brakes on the Cleveland Browns. There is no way this team is going to come up and win this division over two teams in that same division that have been doing it way too long and consistently. No way. That doesn't even add up to me. Just because, they got Odell, they got this. I don't care what they have. For it to work on the field, that team's got to go through something first. That's how life is, period. You got to go through stuff to learn things. If you haven't been through nothing, how are you going to learn how to win a playoff game or win a Super Bowl, let alone a Super Bowl? How are you going to win anything if you haven't been through anything? And then you got to also worry about the egos on that team. How are they going to manage it? Are they going to really manage it to where when the ball's not coming to Odell, that Landry's going to be cool? All these guys, Kenny Stills, you just added that guy over there. It's like, what the heck? No, I think they got rid of
him. No, Kenny Stills went to the Texans.
Yeah, he went to, yeah, okay, so, yeah. But, I mean, all the guys they have on that squad that the ball has to go around to, now Kareem Hunt comes back, and then you got Chubb, and you got And then you got to worry about Baker and his little attitude and his personality gelling with all. I mean, it's and then you got a rookie coach that's just stepping into the reins and have to take care of all of that at the same time. That's going to be hard knocks again for them, but it's just going to be behind closed doors this time. But it's going to be happening, and I think that they'll start to gel probably around like week 10. And, you know, they'll be hovering around probably 500. Then, you know, they're not going to win that division, though. That's absurd to think that Baltimore and Pittsburgh have been doing it so long and consistently with those coaches and that coaching staff and what they do over there in both them organizations, that this Cleveland Browns team is just going to step up just because they added some star players and going to take over that. I don't see that happening. That's like pump the brakes, people.
Well, Pittsburgh missed Le'Veon and A.B.
Yeah, I know, but it's just something about that Pittsburgh pedigree, man. It does not matter. I mean,
okay.
from coaching staff on down, it's just something about. I mean, you know that. I don't want to compare them to the New England Patriots, but New England Patriots have their pedigree. Everybody knows that it does not matter who's on that team. They just put people in spots and make them do their job, and they end up beating you. Pittsburgh has a little bit of that also. You just plug in some names and plug in some faces, and they just find a way to grit and grind out wins. That's just how their coach is, Tomlin is, and for some reason, I don't see it really being that big of a problem with them losing those two guys because they barely almost made the playoffs last year without Bell. I mean, it was just because of the whole thing happening at the time it happened kind of disrupted them because it was happening at that moment. But this time, the offseason came, and they got rid of the cancer, and now they're gelling together a little bit more. They're like they're bunkering down in the bunker, ready to roll out together. And usually when that happens, teams just know how to put people in places to come out and win games, especially that Pittsburgh Steelers team. And I gotta say the same thing about Baltimore. Baltimore may not look like the same team on paper, but when Harbaugh puts them out there, for some reason, some way, somehow, they find ways to win games because they are smart teams. I don't know why they don't kill themselves. They are smart teams. Both those teams are, and that they built that up over the course of years, and that's consistent to me. And I don't think that's going to change just because you know Cleveland got what they got.
Just remember this: if you're a Joe Flacco fan, you lost your job to a guy that can't pass. And every time I hear the word Flacco, I just keep reminding people: you lost your job to a guy that can't pass. Last question: I want you to tell me this. Am I being, what do young people say in my feelings about this? I have never rooted against a team outside of the Green Bay Packers in a very hard way. And I hate the Green Bay Packers. I'm a 100% Bears fan. So I don't care if I make no bones about it. If I was holding an extra ticket and I saw a lady with a Packers hat who was 70, who told me he never saw a live game, I would tear that ticket up before I would want to give her that. I would not do it. I would not do it. But in saying all that, there is no team this year I will root against more than the New Orleans Saints because I have not seen a bunch of babies like the Saints last year when they cried, and they took no ownership for anything. I know there was a horrific call. I know it was a terrible call. It may have been the worst non-call I've ever seen, but your coach could have called three running plays and made the Rams use timeout. Then after you kicked the field goal, your defense didn't hold. Then after you won the toss, Drew Brees threw an interception, and your defense didn't hold again. You had every opportunity to win that game, and you wind your way into a new penalty that's going to make all of us suffer at the end of games because you were too babyish to suck it up and take that loss like big, grown NFL men. I do not want to see them win this year. I do not want to see them get in the playoffs. Do I have any hope down deep of the Saints actually finally not being good enough to make the playoffs? Is there any hope for me this year in that happening?
Oh, man. you got better hope. You got better hope in selling that ticket for the lady that didn't want to get it. but they're going to run that division like they do every year. Playoff wise, they're vulnerable, of course, because you still have that aspect still playing in the back of your mind. I mean, you know what they. Compiling from the year before that, when they lost to Minnesota, the way they lost to Minnesota,
yeah,
and then that way they lost, it's like this compiling up on them. So when they get close to that point again, their mindset may not be right to win games in the playoffs right now. So I don't know. They will be there. I don't see them not being there. The only hope you do have is a skill declining Drew Brees. Because he's 40 years old, but other than that, they'll be there. They have too many weapons on offense. They have too many weapons that you have to account for. Defensively, they're getting a little bit better, so I don't see. And then I don't see the other two teams in that division challenging them to win that division. Atlanta can't stop anybody. We don't know what Carolina is, and BA and them down there are just new, so they're not going to be up there to do anything. So you got to give that division to the Saints and. Now you're just hoping the people around in the NFC can pull off what you want to pull off and not let them, get any further. But sorry to tell you, but they're going to be there somewhere.
Oh, man. See, I just need a little bit because, like I said, I've never rooted against a team more than the Packers. And now I won't say it's more than the Packers, but they're 1A and 1B. That whining last year. Earl, it just took everything.
I definitely agree of what that whining caused is just horrible for the game. This pass interference thing is so ridiculous. Did you see all these coaches testing it out to see where the reins are, where they're going to go with this thing,
yeah.
Just calling it on every freaking – I'm like, are you kidding me? And then there were guys like our own Cliff Kingsbury who didn't know when to call it. He should have called it. And it's just so ridiculous. It's like I had a show we did when this came out, and I was like, I want to see guys like Belichick and these smart coaches how they use this rule to their advantage. And that's what's going to start happening. And they tried through the preseason throwing that flag out, and it's just so frustrating to watch the TV commercial come because they want to check to see if. Pass interference, and you look at the replays like where they're both pushing each other. Who are you going to call it on? I mean, it's just crazy. And for them to change the rule for that over one coach and one team crying over something, and you change the rule, it just changes the whole game out. I mean, it just changes everything. And I don't like it. And I hope during midseason sometime it gets so bad that they go ahead and toss it out because it's ridiculous.
They got to do something. Honestly, I believe the NFL are a bunch of beep holes, and I don't know why I said the word beep, but I did, are a bunch of beep holes, and that they for years didn't inform people what their risks of playing the game were, and they did things, like we go back
correct.
To the 50s and the 60s, where they sold guys' tongues to their jaw with the opposing. Now, I understand all that, but everyone now, for the most part, is a big boy, grown man. I'm not talking high school or college. You know what your risks are when you're playing in the NFL. And we have to at some point say, at this level, guys know what they're getting into. You got to let them play. And if a call is missed, fire the freaking ref. Don't penalize everybody. Fire the ref. Now, you know what? I think it's funny. I think Ezekiel Elliott, And I'll say this quick because I know we're coming up against the clock. Ezekiel Elliott is about to get $45 million because the Cowboys are going to pay him. They need to just go ahead and make up. It's like arguing with, when you're single and you're arguing with your girlfriend. You know you're going to go to her house later. Why are you still arguing? Just go on and make up and get over there. So you know you're going to go. But I think it's funny in football that they argue about all this stuff. Norman Powell in the NBA. I know you know who he is because you follow the NBA, but short of you, Mr. and Mrs. Powell are the only people who know who their baby is. He's about to make $33 million in guaranteed money. Ezekiel Elliott, the best running back in football, is fighting over 45. guaranteed.
Right.
When when Powell may be the 180th best player in the NBA, you think I want my kids playing football after flag? Hell no.
Nope.
Hell no. You better learn how to hit a baseball or play hoops if you want to be a professional athlete.
Yeah, I was about to say, you better learn how to hit a baseball.
You know? I find it amazing that we have this in football where the best players are begging for money. It's a billion-dollar league. There's a salary cap which shouldn't be there. And we all come down to the whiny-ass Saints getting their way. Earl, tell everyone where they could check you out.
You can always check us out on our website at www.kfrnaz.com. That's where you can go live. You can hear the show, all the great programs we have on the station playing live right there. And also, you can also download our mobile apps for Android and Apple right there on that same website. And you can follow us at our social media outlets, Casual Sports, with the Z at the end of sports. That's on Facebook, that's on Twitter, and Instagram, all the same tab. So you know somebody out there that's trying to get into hip-hop and trying to sell a tape, their records, and trying to get their record heard, KSRN is the spot from 9 to 2 a.m. We play all of the local hip-hop artists around the valley. And, of course, we've got all the best sports programming and podcasts that you can name in the valley. So check us out, www.KSRNAZ.com. Thanks for the commercial.
And they can also check this out at 3 o'clock.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, my man, it's on at 3 o'clock. Exactly. So
3 o'clock. The Cave Show. And you know what? If you have space, I may have another show for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you better hurry up. We're starting to fill up the dang schedule, man. We just added 2 new shows. We got a couple of good running shows from ex-football Cardinal player, JB, Jeremy Bridges has a show on there.
Okay.
Of course, you know, Ed Smith has a show on there. So we got a couple of other football guys starting to put their shows out, want to get on there. And, so if you got a show for me, I'll find some spot for you, but you better work fast because I got a lot of people reaching out trying to get stuff on this thing, man.
It is a once-a-week show. I know I'm rushing out, but it's a once-a-week show. Her name is Mia Chambers, and she does a football-only show. So I'm going to guarantee you don't have too many women doing a football-only show once a week on Wednesday nights.
That would be awesome, man. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'll reserve that spot just for that because, that would be awesome. Yeah, you know where to reach me, man. You know where to reach me.
All right. Hey, look, I appreciate it. I appreciate you spending so much time, and don't judge me about what I said about that 77-year-old woman not trying to get into her very first game. Cause, in all honesty, from the bottom of my heart, I want to just admit that is the truth. I really would tear that ticket up, and what makes it worse, Earl, I'd tear it up right in front of her and be like,
You would not try to turn that ticket into some cash and to go get something else to get out of it and say the Green Bay Packers paid for it. I mean, I would turn that sucker into some money at least.
If she was a Bears fan, yes, I would. But as a Packers fan, I would tear it up right in front of her and walk in that stadium with no hard feelings. My feelings would be hurt. I'd go home and go to sleep just like my name was Ghost.
That's a little bit much, man.
I'd wear a Bears sweatshirt, and on the back of the name, it would say Ghost Sinclair. Wouldn't even care.
Oh, man. You're terrible, man. Get that old lady her day, go kick it, let her go see the Packers for the first time, man. What the hell's wrong with you?
All right, bro. We'll catch up, and I'll get
to them about that. All right, man. Paul, take care, man. Appreciate you having me, man.
All right, thank you.
All right.
That's the one and only Earl Burnett from KSRN Casual Sports. Quickly, you can get us on social media, on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all at the Sports Cave. sportscave.com. All that is with a K. You can get me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Fun show today. Like I said, you got some true knowledge drops on you today. Thank you again. Thanks for the caller that called in before. All calls may be at the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Until tomorrow when I have my AFC preview, this has been the K Show with PLR. This is PLR.